District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Hello, this is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Cliff Sower from the Collection Consultancy Australia, and we're talking about credit management or your terms of trade. We're going to cover three tips: PPSR, and we'll get into that a bit more a bit later, Privacy and Data Protection Act, and terms for your business. Cliff, how did you get into business? How did you get into this business?
Basically, what happened was I met up with a couple of guys over on the East Coast who were all in credit management and collections, like collection agents for bad debtors. I saw the market had changed quite a lot and realised that there was a market that I wanted to get into. And we formulated the business between the three of us after doing extensive courses and training and, in regards to learning about government legislation, how it plays and how it affects businesses. I thought that, you know, it would be great to be able to help people, especially in the SME marketplace, who don't understand the legislation and what they need to do in order to protect their business. And between the three of us, you know, the business has now been running for about 7 years. And as being a new partner of D32s, it was great for us to be able to get it through any avenue that we could, any format or any platform, so that businesses are starting to understand why there's a need to have these things in place.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is number one, today a lot of businesses, when they do work for other companies, they generally have to give from invoice time to pay, i.e. 30 days, things like that. What they're actually doing is by giving these businesses or other people lines of credit, they're actually putting themselves at risk. And they put themselves at risk by way of two areas. Number one, non-payment, obviously, not being paid. And number two, if there's areas of disputes in regards to work carried out, people tend to hold their money before, you know, before they actually pay it out, because they want it sorted before any payment's due. There is laws to enforce. There is legislation in place that helps businesses to be able to support them in those areas. And obviously, in the areas of the terms and conditions, just so long as they're these three things. The three things are that they have to be correctly worded, they have to be compliant with government legislation, and they need to be legally enforceable. So gone are the days where people can just write up their own terms and conditions, because now they have to support and have to be compliant with government legislation.
Oh, wow. That's a bit of a surprise, that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all pretty new since 2016 when the Unfair Contracts Act came into play. Even companies like banks, the big four, had to change their terms and conditions to make sure they're compliant with government legislation.
Cliff is talking about PPSR. Now, what the heck is PPSR, Cliff?
Yeah, Alan, PPSR is a register that's been formed here in Australia, and it's there to support businesses who offer a line of credit to their clients, i.e. 30-day terms and things like that. And the PPSR stands for Personal Property Securities Register. And the PPSA is actually the act or the law that stimulates that. So what I'm saying is that if you're a company that offers credit to your clients, there's a PPS registration that you should do in order to support your business. And what I mean by that is that today, if you do not secure that credit, you're classified as an unsecured creditor. As an unsecured creditor, if there's money outstanding and a company goes into liquidation, then there's money outstanding to you. The chances of you getting that are pretty well null and void now. So also, as an unsecured creditor, the receivers or the liquidators have a right by using a clause which is called a preferential clawback clause. And that allows them to go back to a business and say, hey, look, you didn't secure that credit. The last 6 months, this company has paid you whatever the sum is. We're going to use the preferential clawback clause, and we demand that money back. And by law, you have to pay that back. This is for work that businesses have already carried out and been paid for. So what they're saying is that what you should do is you should secure that. So you register that business every time you take on a new client or even an existing client that you're offering credit to. You should register them on the PPSR. That way, as a secured creditor, not only can you not get hit for the preferential clawback clause, but secondly, instead of being like what used to happen a little while back, is that you're waiting in a line to be paid by the receivers, and if you're lucky, you get 10 cents in the dollar or something like that. Now, you jump the queue and you go to the top of the queue and you get paid even before the ATO and people like that. So it is in your best interest as a business to make sure if you're offering terms to clients, certainly make sure you register them on the PPSR.
Is it complex to do that?
It is if you do it yourself. It's if you went on and had a look at the PPSR, it's there, and people do it themselves for a small fee. It would, you know, those PPS registrations will last for 7 years, but we know that statistically, around 87 to 88% of the PPSR registrations done since 2014. Are null and void because they haven't been done correctly. And unfortunately, you don't get told that they're not been done correctly. So there's only real one way to do it properly, and that's the service that we offer to our clients to make sure that they're 100% correct and that if anything happened down as they went forward and a company went into liquidation on them, they can rest at ease and sleep that night and not have to worry about it because they know they're protected.
So even if you did it yourself, you may be in the belief that you are covered, but you're in fact not.
Absolutely.
And they don't tell you.
No, that's correct.
I'm not allowed to get political here, am I? That's typical government.
Yes.
Why don't they tell you?
Well, I guess because they do. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of them done every day of the week now. So it's now probably one of the biggest things in Australian business. And it's just that we're here to acknowledge that to business, especially into the SME market, because, again, a lot of these businesses don't know these. They don't know what the implications are when a company goes into receivership. A lot of the times they think, wow, I've just lost my money, that's gone. And it could be substantial enough amounts of money that end up shutting your business down anyway. So for a small fee, why wouldn't you protect it to make sure that those things don't happen?
And that clawback one, that scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, absolutely. So simply by not securing that line of credit, you're classified as an unsecured creditor. And if you went and got credit listings of people that business, and I mean, there's some big companies going down at the moment. If you get the creditor listings, you'll see quite clearly secured, unsecured. So you're better off being on the secured side than definitely not the unsecured side.
I think I definitely want to be doing that. Privacy Data and Protection Act. That sounds a bit complex, is it?
Not really.
Not if you know what you're doing?
What they're saying is, and this all stems back to, probably everybody knows that a couple of years back, Mr. Facebook, he was done for apparently leaking out a lot of personal information around, I think it was around 300 million or 30 million something, people's information. It caused an uproar, not just here in Australia, but around the world. So much so that in May of 2018, the federal government decided and made it very, very clear that the Data Protection and Privacy Act had to be upgraded so that we're all singing off the same hymn sheet, so to speak. What they're saying is that if, again, this comes down to business, that if you've got things like websites, and on your website you're taking information from outside sources, i.e. you're leaving, you know, they're leaving email addresses, information, personal information, you must have on your website a privacy policy waiver or statement. And included with that, you must have terms and conditions for that website if people come onto your website so that they adhere to those terms and conditions. This is now law and you have to have it. Effectively, if you've got things like employees and you've got things like TFN, their tax file numbers, even banking details, credit card details of other companies, all that information that you've kept, it may be on other items such as tablets, iPhones, whatever the case may be. If something happens and that Privacy Act is breached, if you don't have these things in place, the fines are astronomical now. So just to give you one small instance, if you're a business and you're going to get a trade reference from a new client that wants to do business with you, and you ask for a credit reference and you get that credit reference without having your privacy statement in place, having your privacy policy, which is a privacy policy manual, a hard-covered manual, in place on your premises, the first thing that the AOIC would do if there's a breach, will check.
AOIC,
yeah, that's a government branch. You can have a look at them on the website. It tells you all about the Privacy Act and the Data Protection Act. They will check to make sure that you've got those things in place. And if they can see that you haven't, the breach of that contract is done in what they call penalty units. That particular penalty unit would consist of being 200 penalty units, and one penalty unit is equal to $210 today. So that's a $42,000 fine. Simply by asking for a trade reference without having your privacy policy in place.
This is
now law, so you must have it as a business.
Would you have any idea of the number of small businesses who do not do that?
Look, we don't know full statistics, but I would say out of every 10 businesses I look at on the website, there's probably four or five that do, and there's probably five or six that don't. And it's the ones that don't that we contact or send relevant information to. So we have structured within our business some nice, easy video links that we send to clients so that they can listen instead of having to read all these booklets and the information online. We can send them a record, like an advertisement, really, that shows them what they need to do in order to protect themselves from these types of things.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. It's very important.
Oh, very scary as well. I mean, the red tape.
Yeah, it's well, it's you say red tape. What they're saying is they want people to protect their business, and the way they do that is by having these things in place. That's really it.
Yeah, I can understand and see that it's necessary because of everything that goes on out there.
Absolutely, but yeah.
Scary, nevertheless.
Of course.
Cliff's talking about terms for your business, and from what you said in the past, I don't think I'm going to like to hear what he's got to say.
Well, no, it's not too bad.
No.
Really, terms and conditions for your business or terms of trading, it's something that's been around for many, many years. From November 2016, the federal and state governments made it very clear. They brought in what they call an Unfair Contracts Act, which meant to say that terms and conditions today must be written in a way that they're fair and reasonable for both parties. They must be three things. They must be correctly worded, they must be legally enforceable, and they must be compliant with government legislation. So if you're doing business with another company, whatever it may be in whatever industry, make sure that you've got your terms and conditions compliant with government legislation, and make sure that the other people are signing that documentation before you carry out the work for them. The reason I say that is because without it, you really don't have a leg to stand on, because it then becomes your word against theirs. Not only that, having compliant terms and conditions for your business allows you, if, say, a person doesn't pay an outstanding account, it allows you to be able to put defaults against the business so that they wouldn't get credit anywhere else until you're paid. It allows you to mark them on credit files. It allows you to pass on any ongoing costs. So collection costs, if you get a collection agency to go and collect on your behalf, those costs for the collection agency's charge can be passed on to the actual client, the other person. Interest costs, legal costs, all those types of things. So what we're saying is that without having these terms and conditions, all those things go by the wayside. And this is why a lot of people just give up the idea of chasing bad debt, because they don't have these things in place. And when it comes to a court of law, you're finding it very hard to win those types of things.
What about the micro business, the one person operations?
Even them. I mean, as I said, it's those that get affected probably even more so. The reason is because they don't know about having terms and conditions, and they might have their own supplemented quotation form or whatever they use in order to quote for jobs, And on the back of that form, they may have their own terms and conditions, which a few years ago probably would have sufficed. But now, today, with the new legislation, it doesn't. So there are, I mean, unlike a larger business, you wouldn't need as much information on your terms and conditions. So there are certain brackets of terms and conditions that can be applied to whatever business or whatever industry you're in. And as you say, if you're a one-man band like Joe's Tiling Services, who does that type of thing to a residential owner and just a small business, he probably wouldn't need to have a full-scale, comprehensive set of terms of trading. He could do something, you know, have something quite more minimal, obviously, so to, you know, reduce the cost, number one. But number two, to make sure that he's still got those things in his place, that if something did happen, he's able to protect himself as he moves forward as a business.
What about digital products, a video,
yep,
right, and it's an instructional video,
yes,
and they give you $20 and they download the video,
yes.
Do you need terms and conditions?
No,
on
because
that?
That's paid in advance. So if you're already paid, there's no need. Terms and conditions are written there for businesses. Again, like we talked about previously, if you're offering terms to your client, i.e. if you're offering more than 7 days. 7 days is a default period. So, and I'm not saying it just has to be if that, but what I'm saying is that's the main focal point, is if you're dealing with another company and you're giving them an extension on the invoice prices that you send to them to pay that amount of money. Anything that's more retail, like what you're just talking about then, there could be certain types of contracts in place that you would need to adhere to prior to paying, but once you're paid, that's basically the end of it.
This is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. We've been talking with Cliff Sauer from Collection Consultancy Australia. Thanks for your time, Cliff. It's
you're
been
welcome.
Very valuable.
No problems whatsoever.
Scary and interesting. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the power of connection.